And there you have it. It's an Easter hymn for a Holy Humor Sunday. Our second lesson continues in Acts. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, along with certain women, including Mary the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So there are a lot of church jokes, and hopefully Madeline will get to show you one or two of those church jokes. A lot of church jokes start off with something along the lines of a rabbi, a priest, and a minister went into a bar. Right? And then there's other jokes about rabbis, priests, and ministers going into a bar. And then there's still other jokes about rabbis, priests, and ministers walking into a bar. Some jokes are only funny if you're not the targeted audience. How many of you played those jokes on substitute teachers in your day? How many of you were substitute teachers who had those jokes played on you in your day? So part of the challenge of humor and of conveying a message is, who's your audience and how are you going to get it there? Historically in Western Europe, humor has been used to be the only group allowed to challenge power. So if we were in the medieval days, you would have a jester and you would have a court jester. And the court jester is the only one who gets to sit in the presence of the king without special permission being given. The court jester is the only one who can comment that the king's hair wasn't brushed, or the buttons weren't lined up in perfect button order, or that, you know, the priest's stole was a little wonky, all of those sorts of things. That tradition continues today in the form of comedians. Late night, live, stand-up, whatever, they poke fun at power. And power's an interesting thing. And that is part of the humor of Holy Humor Sunday, is that you have the real power, God, poking fun at the not real power, the state, in rolling the stone away and Jesus being risen. Really good humor, though, always has an edge to it. We don't always appreciate that edge. But good humor always has an edge to it. So some of the church humor that I was brought up with was about a small town that had three churches right by the square. And there was a Baptist church and a Methodist church and a Presbyterian church. And you'll be able to tell it's the Presbyterian telling the joke because we're the ones who get the power at the end of it. And they all have bats in their belfry. And the pastors are frustrated. Their property elders, their deacons, their boards, their trustees have tried everything to get rid of bats. So the pastors get together, and the Baptist pastor says, "We tried boarding it up. We tried covering every hole that we could find in the belfry, and the bats still get in." And he just hangs his head in dejection. And the Methodist pastor looks and says, "We've tried traps. We've tried poison. We've tried those owl statues. We've tried those late night TV things that are supposed to make a really loud noise that only bats can hear and drive them off. We still have bats." The Presbyterian minister looks at them smugly, leans back in his chair, and says, "We baptized them, and we haven't seen them since." Now, there's an uncomfortable edge to that, isn't there? And that's the challenge of humor, and holy humor is that uncomfortable edge. So today's scripture passages have the disciples getting set up to make a really important transition in ministry. They are being set up to no longer be the students, but to be the teachers. It is as though their student teaching has come to an end and it's time to get serious and actually be the teacher and not the student teacher. And Jesus is getting ready to send them out. Now, how well do you think they're going to do that? You know the personalities of some of these disciples, right? Think about Peter. Peter has to take his show on the road, except he can't be the eager beaver student with all the answers. He actually has to be the teacher. Can you imagine Peter? "Okay, so I need to talk to you about this guy. Have any of you heard of the Messiah?" "Oh, yes, you've heard of the Messiah." "Peter, you need to wait for them to answer." Peter, dial it back a notch. "Do you know that the Messiah was born in Bethlehem?" "Yes, you do." "Oh, Peter, stop. How many of you know the name of the Messiah?" "Yes, Peter, it's Jesus." "Peter, you're not a one-man play." These disciples have to go out and share the gospel. They have to go out and live the gospel because Jesus is ascended, and so he's not hanging around, so the job falls to them. Either excitingly or depressingly, 2,000 years later, we are called to make that same transition. We're called to go from the power of Easter, where we are amazed to stand in the garden and say Rabboni and see our risen Lord, to a week later being the people of God, telling the story, instructing other people in the story, and bringing them into it. So how do you want to do that? In this time of social distancing, you're probably not going to go door knocking and hanging things on everybody's door. We could probably fit you with sandwich board and stand you on the square. We could put like two of you on the square, and we could put a couple of you like down by the fire station at Lake of Egypt and one at the power plant. Put a couple of you at the interstate with sandwich board, and that'll work, right? That'll get people into church and they'll come to Jesus and they'll understand the gospel, right? You got about 18 words that you can fit on the front. And if they're driving like I see people drive through this town, they're going at least 60 miles an hour. So the type needs to be big and it needs to be simple. That's probably not the best way we could do this, right? So how is it that we want to share the gospel with people? Because that's really the challenge of the first Sunday after Easter. The men think that the women are playing a prank on them on Easter Sunday. The women think that somebody else has stolen the body. The soldiers outside the gate think that somebody has stolen the body. Everybody is looking for this to be somebody else's fault, and nobody knows the truth. So how do we convey the truth in a post-Easter world where we're the ones who need to be sharing the gospel? You've all been promoted. You were just followers of Jesus a week ago. Now you are teachers and disciples sent in the name of Jesus Christ to carry the gospel out into the world. Are you ready for the training wheels to come off? Part of the way we end up doing that is, of course, with humor. Because we can't just sit here and lecture at people all day. If me reading from the Bible at you, not to you, but at you, worked, this would all be done by now. If all it took was one person reading the Bible to one other person, we would be done with this. It would be over. Everybody would get it. Everybody would be on board. We're not there. So what's it going to take? It takes cute church signs. You guys know cute church signs? You know that God answers an email, right? They're full of puns. They're full of bad jokes. They're full of good jokes. It takes things to grab our attention, and it takes things that break the way the world works. The resurrection breaks the way the world works. You live until you die. You die, you go into your tomb, and we're done. The resurrection says, no, stones get rolled away. People get raised from the dead, and newness of life happens. So the question is, how do we want to tell the world about that? There is another old joke. Growing up in the Southeast, you learn a lot of church jokes about the best way for churches to do mission. Now, it's tongue-in-cheek. So there's a little bit of an edge to it. The best way to do mission is very simple. You have the Presbyterians plan it. The Methodists do the meals for it. You have the Episcopals fund it. And you have the Baptists do it. Plays to everybody's strengths. The Baptists love to get out and do everything. The Episcopals have all the money. The Methodists love to cook. And we Presbyterians can form a committee to plan something at the drop of a hat. It's all tongue in cheek. And if you're on the inside, it's a great joke. If you're on the outside, it's a little tough sometimes. What is the humor, the good spirit, the good naturedness of our proclamation of the gospel today? Not necessarily a joke or a pun or a prank. How do we deliver with joy the good news of Easter Sunday? I think that is the challenge for us on Holy Humor Sunday and going forward. Friends, to God alone be the glory this day and forevermore. Amen.